Hello students, this is Jyoti Gonsalves from ACS Kaiga welcoming you all class 6 students for the presentation of the module 1 of chapter 10, that is motion and measurement of distances. All of us love to go for a vacation. One of the things your parents would consider while planning your vacations would be how far the city is, how much time it would take for you to reach your destination. If it is a nearby place, you may go by your car. If it is a far place, you may opt for a bus or a train. And if you have to travel abroad, you take an aeroplane. It all depends on the distance. So, distance is an important factor that decides what kind of transport we choose. In the upcoming slides, let's discuss the story of transport. In olden days, man was not fortunate to have all the means of transport we have today. The early human beings used to move from one place to another by foot. That is, by walking. Later, they used animals for transportation. This was for transport on land. But then, how about transport along water routes? Boats were probably built after seeing the shape of aquatic animals, that is, the shape of the fish or the bird. Initially, boats were made by making hollow in wooden logs. The shape was later refined into a streamlined shape. This streamlined shape, when given to a boat, it could make the boat move faster and it was easier to row as well. Now, let's see the history behind the invention of the wheel. Early human beings did know that something that is rolling would be easier for them. They saw that they could move a stone easily by rolling. They also saw that by putting a heavy object on cylindrical logs and rolling, it would be easier to move, as you can see in the picture. Later, they started making wooden discs, which could rotate and take them to different places. This is how the invention of the wheel took place. Invention of wheel dramatically changed the modes of transport. Animal-driven carts could become a possibility after the discovery of the wheel. In the next slide, let's see how the steam engines brought the next big revolution in the modes of transport. Steam engines altogether replaced the animal-driven carts. Initially, the steam engine could carry one or two carriages, and after that, the power of the steam engine was even more increased and it started to take more number of carriages. So what we see today, the metro train, the bullet train, etc., all started right from the invention of the steam engine. We can say the railways network spread because of the steam engine. Next came the automobiles. Motorized boats and ships were used as a means of transport on water. Internal combustion engines made it possible to replace the steam engines. The early years of 1900 saw the development of aeroplanes. These were later improved to carry passengers and goods. Electric trains, monorail, supersonic aeroplanes and spacecraft are some of the 20th century contributions. How do people know how far they have travelled? This is done by a term called measurement. What is measurement? Measurement means the comparison of an unknown quantity with some known quantity. The known fixed quantity is called a unit, and the result of the measurement is expressed in two parts. One part is a number, the other part is the unit of measurement. The boy's height in this picture is 100 centimeters. The length of the pencil is 13 centimeters. The number 13 forms one part. This is the unknown quantity. And centimeter is the unit, that is the fixed quantity. In ancient times, people used arbitrary units of measurement like hand span, foot span, finger length, cubit, arm length, and so on. You can see in the picture, they have used the length of a foot as a unit of measurement, the distance of a step, or the width of a hand as a unit of measurement. Let's see what a hand span is. A hand span is the distance measured by a human hand from the tip of the thumb to the tip of the little finger. What is a cubit? The cubit is the measure from your elbow to the tip of your middle finger when your arm is extended. In the next slide, let's see how the measurement of width is taken using a non-standard unit, that is a hand span. Here, in this picture, you can see the width of the table is measured using a hand span. You can see the readings of the measurement taken by different students. According to Rajiv, the width of the table is 4 hand spans. According to Hitesh, it is 5 hand spans. Jaya, it is 3 hand spans. And Yogita, it is 4 hand spans. Now the question is, can we consider the hand span as a reliable unit? No. Let's check out why. Yes, there are certain disadvantages of arbitrary units of measurement. Arbitrary units are made up of lengths of different body parts. These lengths can vary from one person to another. This can create a lot of confusion, as there would be no uniformity in measurement, as you have seen in the earlier case. Therefore, some standard units of measurements are needed that do not change from time to time. In 1790, the French created a standard unit of measurement called the metric system. For the sake of uniformity, scientists all over the world have accepted a set of standard units of measurement known as the International System of Units. It's also called SI units. Now let's see the different units of measurement. The SI unit of length is a meter, written by small m. Each meter is divided into 100 parts called centimeters, cm. Each centimeter has 10 parts called millimeters, mm. And for measuring large distances, we use a larger unit of length called kilometer, that is km. There are certain rules for writing symbols of units. Number one, the symbols for units are usually written in small letters. Symbols are not written in plural form. And symbols for a unit is not to be followed by a full stop unless it is at the end of a sentence. For example, kilogram is written as kg. Meter is written as m. Centimeter, cm. Kilometer, km. Now let's see some instruments which are used for measuring length. You must have seen a tailor uses a measuring tape to measure cloth, whereas a carpenter uses a different type of a measuring tape. You must have seen this. Dear students, while measuring length, we need to take care of the following points. Always place the scale in contact with the object along its length, as you can see in the picture. Take the reading from the zero mark of the scale. In some scales, the ends may be broken, as you can see here. You may not be able to see the zero mark clearly. In such cases, you should avoid taking measurement from the zero mark of the scale. You can use any other full mark of the scale. Then you must subtract the reading of this mark from the reading at the other end. For example, as you can see here, the reading at one end is 1 centimeter and at the other end it is 17.5 centimeters. Therefore, the length of the table is 17.5 minus 1 centimeter. That is, it is 16.5 centimeters. Next, the correct position of the eye is important for measurement. Your eye must be exactly above the point where the measurement is to be taken, as shown in the picture below. Position A is the correct position of the eye. From positions B and C, the readings may be different. Now let's summarize what we have learned in this module. We have seen the different modes of transport they are used to go from one place to another. Measurement means comparing an unknown quantity with the known quantity. The known fixed quantity is called a unit. In early days, units of measurement included hand span, foot, finger length, pace, and cubit. The system of standard units of measurement used now is the international system of units, that is SI units, and this is accepted all over the world. Meter is the SI unit of length. For measuring length of any object, we need to choose an appropriate device so as to get accurate results. And we have to take certain care while measuring length. That's all in this module. We'll continue the chapter in the next module. Till then, stay safe. Thank you.